This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. Well done, team. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their Rocks Pub Walk, which is a historical walking tour with a twist. The twist being beer, of course. Walking tours are pretty awesome to begin with, and adding beer to the equation makes it awesomer, so it's really worth checking out. To book your tour today, go to daves.com.au.
Sessionable.
Welcome everyone to Sessionable. It is our Christmas episode.
Christmas episode.
So we're all here. Yeah. I'm your host Adrian. I'm with here with Liam.
G'day, g'day.
Tom.
That's me.
And Brad.
G'day.
And Lee, but not speaking.
Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Hi. Lee says Merry Christmas.
Lee's wearing the loudest Christmas shirt you've ever seen.
He wanted to make sure that everyone knows that it's the Christmas episode.
He's wearing one of those, was it the reindeer boob cutout shirts?
Oh, God. Amazing. So before we get to Christmassy stuff, let's do a quick news roundup. Not really too much recently, apart from the sad news that Moku has closed.
Can anyone actually order anything of Moku?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's I had some beers from Moku, but I didn't order them.
Yeah. And Hop Dog is up for sale. And that's big news. Mm. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
We are going to talk shit and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to a Sessionable Christmas episode before, they're usually our longest episodes, and by the end, definitely our drunkest.
They're pretty loose, aren't they?
Yeah, we've got a lot of beer in front of us. There's a lot of standard drinks on the table.
Has anyone been to the pub today?
Not yet.
I mean, I have, but I haven't had a beer.
So we're one up from last year, because I think you were half cut before we even started.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I remember that.
I don't remember that.
I remember you walked out mid-podcast to get your Uber Eats from Adrian's house.
I remember that too.
I vaguely remember this.
That was a lot of food as well. Good times, good times.
Yeah.
So I'm hungover, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm hungover for sure.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking something that I brought back from my recent trip to England, where I showed off my new daughter to the rest of the family. We're drinking Magic Rock Cherry Cola Vice, engine number 9. A very loose Christmas association with this beer, with it having cola.
It looks like a Christmas beer.
Reference. Mm. It certainly smells like cherry cola.
It kind of tastes like it. In fact, a little bit sour.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Berliner Weiss.
It is a, it's meant to be a sort of semi-sour.
I kind of like it.
I do as well.
Same. It's nice in a kind of trashy type of way, I think.
Yeah, the first whiff was like, oh, it smells like a light barley wine almost. But but now it's just really nice,
Good summer beer.
It's got a lot of like cardamom and stuff like that on the nose. But it's not too syrupy. It is a bit syrupy, but it's not super
sweet.
Syrupy.
It's not super sweet. It's nice. It's well balanced. It's better than I expected it to be. Better than it has any right to be.
So did you get the chance to do much beer stuff this trip? Because you had the fam.
Yeah, not a huge amount. A bit here and there. I was drinking some of my mate's beers. So he's sort of ramped up his home brewing and looking to potentially go commercial. So that was quite fun. Yeah. I was trying to help him pick a recipe for one of his first commercial beers.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So he's looking to go Gypsy to start with. And what else?
Are the Haze Bros going full haze craze in the UK as
not
well?
As crazy as here, I would say. There were a couple. Every time I go back, the whole craft beer thing is just ingrained a little bit more into the culture over there. So again, this time it was, it was more evident than it was before. Went to a few good bars. The Waterloo Tap has opened since I was last back. I don't know if anyone's been to the Euston Tap. Before
I know of it, but I haven't.
So, the same tap, same guys have opened another tap room.
Is it in as cool a building?
It's in the arches. It's in railway arches.
Okay. Oh, cool.
But it's not quite as cool as the Euston Tap.
Euston Tap's excellent.
It's a bit bigger though.
Yeah.
So
it's not hard though, right?
So that was pretty good fun. Yeah. Other than that, I didn't really get up to too much beer wise because it was all family stuff. But some of the beers I had were excellent. Probably a standout brewery for me was Deya, DEYA. They're very good. I think they're from the southwest of England, from memory. Drank lots of cloud water again. They're still knocking out the awesome beers. Those were the top ones for me. Northern Monk as well, worthy of a mention. They're kind of like a IPA brewery, but they have like a kind of Belgian-y twist to most of their beers as well. So that some of that stuff was good too.
Cool.
So unfortunately, I couldn't bring too much back because my case was full of baby presents. But
That's right. Well, thanks for bringing this one, man.
You're very welcome.
Cheers.
pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a grower. Yeah. The more I'm having it, the more I'm actually liking it.
Yeah. I finished mine pretty quickly.
I'd quite like a full can of it, actually. Yeah.
What's the percentage on it?
It is...
3-something, probably.
5.5.
Oh, okay.
But it actually has sweet cherries, sour cherries, and cola nut as ingredients.
I'm a bit of a cola nut.
Did anyone have... I'm just going to forget that ever happened. did anyone have... I think Young Henry's a while ago did a beer called The Real Thing, and it was a Coca-Cola recipe beer. It had like cola nut. It wasn't as sweet as this, but yeah.
Didn't we have one on the podcast?
I think we might have.
The somewhere from Victoria.
Oh,
is it the Mash?
Was it the Mash?
Yeah, I think it might have been Mash.
Yeah, it was one of the sour ones, right? Whiz Fizz,
Whiz Fizz.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that now, yeah. Yeah, well, that's gone. That was lovely. No time to lose. Let's open the next beer.
Yeah. All right. We're at a cracking pace already.
What's the next one?
So the next one, I actually got in the Bridge Road Brewers and Friends Craft Beer Christmas Countdown Advent Calendar.
That is a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. I'm able to read it. I thought
you remembered it.
The box is right there. And I thought this was a pretty fitting one. It's the Bridge Road Magical Christmas Unicorn, which is their...
Love this beer.
Ice cream pale ale.
I haven't had this year's yet. I didn't like it last time. Is this the new version?
This is this year's, I assume. Yeah. I just cracked open my advent calendar this morning and saw it, and I was like, oh, that'll be cool.
Because I wasn't a really big fan of the last one, to be honest.
I was. We had it last year on tap at the Albert. Yeah. And
it was a bit of a cult classic. Yeah. People come in specifically for it.
Yeah, we had a lot of requests this year, and we didn't get any.
A lot of sad people.
Just looking at that case for your Christmas countdown.
Yeah.
It's got some, you know.
It does. It's
Moobaroo, Moondog, Hargraves Hill, Now, Pirate Life, Hop Nation, Feral, Van Diemen, Eight Wide, Benspoke, Fixation, and Bolter.
It's a good lineup.
Bloody good list.
Did they do that last year? Was it a mixture of breweries last year, or was it all Bridge Road last year?
I think they might have had a few friends, but not as many as this year. There's still been, you know, more Bridge Road beers than any other brewery, but.
It's a good concept.
Yeah, I really like it.
So, like, I'm assuming there's 12 different breweries there, so 12 of the 24 were friends,
yeah, I think so. Bridge there Road? Were, yeah, I think that's about right. I think there was one from each of those guys, and then extra from Bridge Road.
So 24 beers, 12 of them Bridge Road.
I think so, and 12 of them guests. Yeah, there was some nice stuff in there.
Are you getting vanilla ice cream from it?
I have not
as much this year.
I heard that they toned.
I think they've turned it down a lot.
Sorry, I had a lot of lactose last year, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as big as that. Said
lactose, it's certainly sweet, but it's not as
sweet either.
It's not as vanilla-y.
It's not as outrageous as last year.
I want it to be outrageous.
It's actually really good though. Like it's a lot
it's
more
kind of like
palatable,
like porridge.
I could probably actually drink a full pint of this rather than last year where I could probably do a midi.
Yeah, it's also
what's the bottle? Yeah,
7%.
Yeah, it's pretty boozy.
Yeah, pretty
maybe
boozy.
I shouldn't do a pint.
So they're calling it vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream ale. How we make it. Oh, great. Thanks. It's like about this beer. Inspired by the magical pillars of the universe, unicorns, Christmas, and ice cream, Bridge Road Brewers bring you the element that binds them all, beer. How we make it. Some things in this universe are better left unexplained.
Sure.
Yeah. It's got 10 out of 10 on the magical unicorn profile.
Well, you'd hope so. You wouldn't want a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bridge Road are doing some cool stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I found a bottle of Mayday Hills marmalade in my fridge the other day. Ooh. Cracked that open. Anyone have that?
No. I think I tried it.
I think
at
I had a taste.
That was at Gala Beer Week. Yeah,
I had it at. I think they had it at the Canberra festival that we all went to.
No, they didn't have the marmalade.
They didn't
it's
have
a
the
new
marmalade.
One.
Okay.
Yeah, they had one with tea in it, green tea in it. At the Canberra.
But
that was a blur.
I think Bridge Road's had a pretty massive year. It's done well.
They've been kicking some goals. I think it's been good.
But this beer's not my favourite.
No, I think I prefer the memory at least of last year. I don't know.
Me too.
To compare to this.
What's
one.
Been
Me
the best too. One so far in your Christmas countdown?
The best beer in that countdown.
Well, he hasn't had the last one yet.
I haven't. It could be.
That's going to be a Royal Borealis, right?
Oh, wouldn't that be special? Considering the fact you can buy it at Dan's, I don't think so. So I bought that at Dan Murphy's. So I could.
That's cool.
Yeah. Eight Wide Hippie Berliner was nice. It's all pretty straightforward. Fixation, the IPA.
So it's core beers from...
Pretty much, yeah.
What was the Ben Spoke beer?
No, the Ben Spoke beer was the Barley. Ginger beer. That was a...
Boo.
Yeah, nah.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, but that, but the, you know, all the other beers have been pretty good. There's been some, yeah, a lot of core beers, but...
Was it Bolter XBA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bolter XBA, yeah, Feral, Sly Fox, Pirate Life, Throwback.
Hop Nation?
Pardon? Hop Nation, was it IPA, I think?
Yeah.
Hargreaves Hill, ESB, Nail, Red Ale. You know, so there's some nice beers in there. It's been fun opening it up.
Yeah, well, Adrian and I were talking about it last week. Was that last week?
Last episode.
Two weeks ago. About the amount of different... are they calling it advent calendars?
I guess so.
Yeah. Mm.
That are out this year.
Yeah, mm. It's pretty cool. I like it. I'm a fan of the idea.
Mm. What's this next beer, guys? No, wait.
Well,
you brought this. Merry Christmas, everyone.
What did you bring us?
I brought a bottle of the Wildflower Gold Blend 1.
Who's Wildflower? Never heard of
it. I don't think we've ever talked about them on this podcast before.
I mean, let's just get to the inevitable. We know, like, a year, you know, a wrap-up of the year podcast is going to have to include a segment about Wildflower this
year. I think,
year.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about our highlights for the year and Wildflower.
Wildflower is one of them.
Let's start with Wildflower.
Yeah. I think, like, spoiler alert, this exact beer, the Wildflower Gold, is was on my top five that I voted for this year.
It was in the Best of New South Wales top 10
on
Crafty Pint.
It got number one, actually.
Did it actually get number one? Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah, because you were part of that.
Yeah, because they didn't rank it in the article.
Didn't rank it, yeah.
But yeah, so it was actually number one.
Scoop. It's just for the podcast.
If they did them all individually, I think five of the top 10 would have been Wildflower.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which is deserved. Like, yeah. You know, the beers that Topher's been putting out have all been excellent. Like, just very, very good consistently, every single one.
I think there was a lot of expectation before he started, weren't there, about how good the beers were going to be, and I think it's fair to say that he's at least lived up to that expectation.
I'd say I
always knew that it was going to be awesome, but then, like, you know, kind of like La Serena, I think La Serena's only really now getting to their stride with their yeast culture.
Okay.
And I kind of thought with Wildflower, it's like, you know what, it's going to be awesome, but that culture's going to need time to really grow its legs.
Yeah.
But I think he's just come out of the gate.
Mm. Yeah, and it has been getting better and better as well.
Oh, it definitely has. And the whole thing is, like, every time I go there, I'm like, Topher, like, I was there last week, and they have, I think they had about four or five different batches of the amber for sale.
Yeah.
And every time I go there, I'm like, oh, Topher, which version do I get? He's like, always get the latest one. Get the latest one. That's the best one. It's like... Even he was saying, he's sick of saying that this last batch is the best one ever.
Yeah.
Because he says that about every single one.
Well, like, so I was recently catching up to Ale of a Time, and one of the last ones I listened to was the Wildflower episode.
Yeah, which is a very good episode.
And that was a while ago, right?
Yeah, like May or something. Yeah. And Topher was talking about how every time he uses the yeast, it will become cleaner and cleaner and kind of correct itself. And... yeah, I guess that's evident in the beers. Like, he tries to make them taste similar every blend, but you will notice a difference.
Yeah.
Did you actually say which one we're drinking?
This is blend one.
Of the gold.
Yeah.
Blend one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember picking this up. I went to the oak barrel and they had run out already. So I went to this random wine shop in Paddington, who was stocking Wildflower, and I went there and they were like, oh, I can't believe people are actually coming in for this beer. And they're like, it was barely above cost that they were selling it for, because they didn't know margin, that people would actually buy it. And
so they bought it for staff.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I picked up one from there.
That's cool, because I've still got a bottle of one of both the amber and the gold.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find the right...
yeah,
so
I mean,
drink it. So I was going to bring one today, but I just assumed everyone else was going to bring a bottle of Wildflower. Yeah.
I've got another one in my cupboard if we need to get one out.
But this is tasting really good.
It is.
And it is cool, like, Wildflower's crossover appeal. Like, wine shops are stocking it, restaurants are stocking it.
It's, every time I go into the venue and sit and have beers, it's not beer people drinking there.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people who I recognise from not from the beer world, from other sort of parts of my life, and I'm like, they're at Wildflower. I'm like,
This is interesting. During Beer Week, during the Waratah release, I noticed, like, one of the guys from the band Pivot was selling toasties. And the other band members were there, like, kind of buying toasties from him. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, that is pretty cool. It's,
So this has obviously been and continues to be a raving success. Do you think this is going to start a new kind of movement towards this style of brewery in Australia, perhaps in Sydney or further afield in Australia? Are we going to end up with a sort of scene similar to that in Belgium, where we're going to get a lot of these types of wild.
Well, I mean, you've got you got Wildflower, you got La Serena in Melbourne.
Yep.
You got Two Bit of Tall, and I guess Van Diemen's coming into and Tassie as well.
Yep.
I guess we're noticing it a lot more because it's now in our backyard.
Yeah. I guess the difference, particularly with La Serena and Wildflower, is the fact that it's actually quite an urban location where, like, you kind of foresee, you know, these styles.
Farmhouse,
it's a bit
farmy. Right?
Yeah. You know, if you think about, you know, places like Hill Farmstead in the US and those type of things, they're all quite far out.
I think it's something like Rare Barrel, or, you know, you've got these big barrel rooms where they're doing lots of blending, and I see more of that in Australia coming up. I would not be surprised. You know, people have been talking for years about barrel programs and barrel rooms, but I think that's all just going to start kicking off soon.
Well, I know other like established breweries are going to be doing some major expansions into barrel stuff very soon.
From a brewer's standpoint, though, is this the sort of stuff that would, you know, get them hard? Is this the stuff that they would all aspire to wanting to do?
I think some brewers, like, I know, like, you know, Topher is a fermentation nut. He loves fermentation. That's one of his favorite parts of the process, and that's why Wildflower is a yeast-focused brewery, which is not something we have.
And I know a lot of other brewers are very nerdy when it comes to fermentation as well. Not all brewers.
Not all brewers, Hashtag not all brewers.
Hashtag not all brewers. But yeah, there are a lot of fermentation nerds out there, and this is stuff that will make them
But in the same way, some
excited.
Brewers are, you know, they're hop nerds. They love different varieties of hops and how they play together. Yep. And, you know, some
Akasha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Modus, and, you know, like they're all about those. There's a big hoppy, and that's the flavour there. They want to focus on.
And it's good that we have that variety.
Exactly. I completely agree. And then you do have some that, you know, do like a bit of malt in their beers. And like, Bridge Road does. Like, I had a bling and it looked, you know, it looked brown.
Yeah.
It's hoppy, but it's like big malt backbone. Like, you know, not necessarily the same sort of experimentation, but there is some of that, you know, with especially with the more crafty.
Well, I guess you got to, you know, if we're talking about funky stuff in the East, you got to put Mayday Hills in that same conversation as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Boat Rocker is doing some interesting stuff as well.
Yeah. So, you know what? The next person to set up one of those styles of breweries in Sydney is going to be a very brave person to
step on Wildflower's turf.
And I'm sure Topher
would. Topher would be excited about it.
Topher and Chris aren't the type of guys to be like, you know, this is our hood, but But, you know, that's going to take,
but it's also,
it's
set.
Yeah, to, but it's like that. It's a high bar to clear,
it
right?
It is, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, the bar is set, has been set. And if you don't, you know, if you don't bring your A game, you're not going to.
I think the fact that Wildflower's been around since, what, April?
Yeah, March.
March, April, right?
Our episode was March, and that was just when they were about to release.
No, because I remember when he launched the Gold, I just came back from the States when we went to Platinum, I guess. Any of you guys?
I didn't go, but yeah.
Yeah, I went to. Yeah, yeah. And that was when I just come back from the States, so that was like April. Yeah. For what the Topher and Chris have done from April to now, it's pretty insane.
Yeah.
I think it's really just, I don't think Topher anticipated it would grow this quickly. And I'm not saying that they're growing exponentially, but I don't think they thought they would be so popular straight off, and that they would be, you know, now they have a membership program. And,
well, I was just about to bring that up. What do you guys think about that, the membership program?
I think it sucks.
Did anyone on this podcast get a ticket? Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks, sweet. Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
So, yeah. The first thing I thought was like, shit, fuck, I hope one of the other guys got one. And then I was saying that, Adrian, fuck, we all should have just chipped on a
We should do a sessionable membership for it.
Thanks, Lee.
We'll take Lee's, take Lee's membership for that,
So we're going to do like another series of podcasts where we just crack all of Lee's Wildflower releases
that. A sub-podcast. Maybe we should talk to Topher about this. Yeah. He can talk about every single release. Yeah. The other thing I was going to say was,
I think that's a big sign of maturity, though, the fact that you've got, what was it, $350 bucks around there somewhere? Mm. I think if you're in Melbourne, it's $380
and it sold out in what, like a...
hour and, 10, hour and a half?
Yeah, four hours?
Yeah.
Nah, I think it was less than that.
It was pretty quick.
It's which is insane that it went so quickly. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I do hope that it doesn't become like the US membership programs where people sign up just so they can resell it on the secondary market.
I don't think we're
I don't think it will, especially this year, because
it's only
limited
60,
to 60.
Like, you can almost track it down.
And a lot of the people that I know that have signed up for it are people that want to keep their beers rather than trade them on.
We'll talk about it a bit later, but, you know, we're talking about the good things that happened this year. we're moving more and more towards that lining up for releases and that type of thing, which
the secondary market,
which is starting to worry me a little bit.
Yeah,
but on good notes, I think Wildflower in general is just an all around win.
Yep.
I do think, like, you know, going back to a few past Christmas episodes where we're talking about what makes an Australian Christmas beer.
This gold's really good.
I think, well, yeah, the gold and the table beer.
The lager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
the lager's beautiful.
Really easy, smashable, well-made beers.
Well-made. Yeah, lots of character, lots of flavour. Mm. But that's it. That's what I think Wildflower, the success behind it and the buzz behind it comes down to is, like, it's not marketing, it's not... it's just a really good liquid. That's it, right?
And Tovo has a very kind of specific philosophy of not making, I'm pretty sure he can make ridiculous sour beers, but he doesn't.
They're all pretty approachable, right?
He doesn't want to make anything like that. And, you know, maybe one of the limited releases in the next few years will be a sour beer.
Sure. Like, I haven't given any Wildflower beers to people who are not beer fans because I would just rather drink it myself.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think, like,
I'll probably crack open a bottle at Christmas with my dad. And,
yeah, to
know,
get someone
brothers.
Into beer, that's a pretty approachable. Like, it's not pretty full on. It's quite nuanced, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So.
But at the same time, I think they're tart enough. I mean, it's not like you're searching for the tartness in there. There's definitely enough.
This has got, I think, tarter since when we first
A little bit more, yeah. But it's also, like, mellowed. It had like, a kind of sharp character when it first came out, and now it's a lot more approachable.
It's got a nice, like, lemon peel sort of bitterness and a lot of tartness.
It reminds me of, like, you know, the DuPonts and all the classic saisons.
It's a great comparison to make, like, you know, that's
I mean, that's what he was inspired by, right? Yeah. Like, that kind of style. So, yeah, it's good that he's able to make these beers using mostly local ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is
all-round win.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, spoiler alert for when we get to it, but I'm definitely choosing a Wildflower beer for my beer of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Same.
Probably we all are, right?
Well, it just is, isn't it?
Right.
So what's some other highlights for the year? What's some other cool shit that's
happening? How do we feel about hazy beers, guys?
I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, we talked about in the past, you have to enjoy it pretty fresh, but when you do get it fresh, it's tasty as fuck.
My problem is that the window is tight, and so if you get one that's
But it's the
good,
same with IPAs.
Yeah.
All IPAs.
But I think it's more noticeable in a New England.
Sure.
I find it, if it's not, it gets this sort of undrinkable, like, composting fruit flavour, and I hate it.
I don't like drinking, you know, malty IPAs.
I prefer that, personally, but yeah.
You know, after a month anyway, because you get too much malt.
So what about, I think in that Crafty Pint article, Nick wrote about it with the Best Beers New South Wales, that there was zero New England IPAs in the top 10 beers.
In the New South Wales?
Last year.
Oh, last year, yeah.
And this year, like...
It's like five out of the ten. It was like, Lupulin Fog and Ekham Upside Down.
But they were well-made, though. Like, there were those examples that made the top ten.
Yeah,
good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Lupulin Fog and Upside Down, I voted for both of those in the Crafty poll.
Yeah.
So...
They're both great beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've just, you know, I see people, you know, flying in cloud waters and, you know, treehouse and all this stuff. It's like, I just drink them fresh. Like, have them from a source.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Look, it is a bit of a cheap thrill, but I still enjoy drinking them. So
I keep going back to them because, you know, I want to get exposed to as much of it as I can. I can't say I'm a massive fan of the style.
I'm the same.
You're not on the haze train?
Don't think I ever will be.
I'm
and my favourite ones are the ones that are probably less true to style, some of the ones that pull in some of the West Coast characteristics alongside the haziness and the fruitiness.
But if you have,
I just,
like,
find some of them just too...
Topper. Like, it's not like a super hazy... Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I find it a style that you can drink a lot of, personally, which is why I like it. And I'm definitely...
Because you're a massive pisshead.
Well, yeah. But in the last few years, I go back to styles that...
Christmas calls around.
that I like to drink, you know, over and over again. And, you know, hazy styles are that. Even though they can be high percentage, you can just smash them.
If you want to just settle in for a session and just have the same beer and just knock a few back, then great for that. If you want to sit there and talk about nuance and... You know, get your little book out and write your tasting notes. And it's like, that's not the type of beer that's for.
Mm.
Like, that's the thing. I like it. It's a cheap thrill, but I like it.
Yeah, these are really nice ones. I really like the Modus Activewear Which wasn't recently, they didn't call
just came out, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a super fresh.
That had fruit juice it did. In it.
Yeah. Or, which I like.
Puree.
So mango guava.
Yeah, it was really tasty. Yeah,
it's really good.
I had several schooners of that when we had it on tap. I think while it was on tap, it was my only Staffy, more or less.
So it was a very good one. That's probably one of my favorites of the year.
The Modus Weedy Yeast Coast was really good as well.
I actually voted for that.
Feral's Biggie Juice was really good as well.
Jiffy Squid, which we've spoken about.
Does this gravy train of New England IPA style beers, the hazy fruity beers, mean that the West Coast style becomes endangered? Are we going to see less of that around? Or?
No. I think there'll be almost like a bit of a... It'll be like a ticking pendulum. Like,
well, people have already started making new West Coast styles in response to East Coast styles. So, and even Modus, who are making a lot of East Coast styles, are making West Coast styles as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, I mean, if you think back to what IPA used to be, the kind of English-style IPAs with the bigger malty backbones, you don't see those anymore, really.
Mm.
So I hope that it doesn't mean the death of the West Coast
style. I love that, though. Like Meantime IPA.
Yeah.
Tough beers, I love it.
Yeah.
I'd love for someone to do like an English style IPA.
I think there's room for all styles, varieties of IPA, and I just hope it doesn't mean that everything goes hazy and super fruity and
even barrel aged IPA, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had a batch West Coast IPA the other day. I was like, that's still a really fucking good beer.
Beautiful beer.
That's like every time I go to Batch, I have one of those. It's just, really.
I love the fact really that good. Now they've got the kegging dates on the APA and West Coast IPA.
Oh, that's
on the board.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it actually tells you on the board what date they were.
I love that. Kegged. I need to go back there. It's been a while.
I don't go there very often.
Yeah, I need to go there more often.
I go there a lot.
Yeah, because your office is like half a block away.
Yeah. It's literally next door. Yeah. I actually go and have meetings in Batch.
The other day, instead of going out for lunch, I actually went to Batch and had a beer and came back.
Speaking of which, another, I think, a big trend of 2017 was the sort of the explosion of the brewery tap room.
Yeah. Right?
And so I think...
In Marrickville,
specifically. And I think that it's something that is going to keep going next year. I think, that if we're going to be predicting trends for next year, I think that's one of the things.
Sure.
Well, not necessarily just tap rooms, but more kind of really local breweries that just... do their area.
Look up the local area.
Yeah. And especially like, losing a few of the bigger breweries, a lot more will be focusing on the local areas.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing that regional brewer play a bigger role as well. Like brewers like New England or Bright or Bridge Road or...
Yeah, sure.
They're starting to... I think a lot of them are starting to do a bit less national distribution and focusing a bit more on a tighter area, but really... Yeah. Like serving that area well,
and they're Bright's about to go national now.
But they used to be national, and then they came down, and then they're coming back up.
I think they've really been.
They're like interstate, but they weren't national.
Yeah, interstate. Yeah. But they've
got a new brewery. That,
exactly. They've upped production.
Oh, did they get a new brewery?
They're building a bigger facility.
Yeah, I think is it open yet or? I don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
But I think that's the... But they dialed it back and they've been focusing on their... And then, and just slower growth, but really focusing on that local community as your number one.
Yeah.
Because the great thing about a tap room is it's good business, like, for a brewery to be in.
Absolutely.
That's where
and we're seeing different models. Like, Frenchies is a great example of a different model of a brewery that's...
More of a bistro than a tap room.
It's interesting you say that, because that was one of the... I read the Ale of a Time... article about his predictions for 2018, and one of them was for a growth in brew pubs across the country. And I've always thought there's a bit of a gap in the market for that, both here and in the UK, actually, for maybe a local brew pubs, but also maybe a brand that specialises in having brew pubs all over the place, right? Where everything is kind of brewed on site, and you kind of replicate that model. In various locations.
James Quine's did that a bit a few
years
ago.
They did, yeah.
Well, I mean, I went to the All Hands Brewing during the week.
I haven't been yet.
It's really cool. Yeah, really good. Yeah, and
the fit out looks amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Beers, it was first batches of all the beers.
So yeah.
Braden was there and I was talking to him.
Are they just rebrands of the old ones or just new stuff?
There are, I think the Cream Ale, which is one of the original ones, is kept, but the other ones, there was a Saison, which was really nice.
Yeah.
They're still dialing in the brews, but everything was good. Like, yeah, they're not... They just got a little fine-tuning to do.
Yeah.
And they were pretty open
about it. I mean, and they just opened, like, a month ago, so that's fair enough.
Like, when I went, it was batch one of all the beers. Yeah, yeah. So it was first brew of everything.
I still got to go there.
We
should get them on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, good idea.
It's an awesome space. Like, the place is huge.
Yeah, they refitted the whole place, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've done a really good
job. That's the old James Squire brew house.
Yeah.
King Street brew house. King Street brew house.
Red tape. Yeah. Red tape, yeah.
I'm interested to go down and check that out, actually, because I used to like it even back when it was King Street Brewhouse. Yeah. So
back to hazy beers for a sec.
So I think, I bought this beer because I've never had this beer before, and, you know, there seems to be a bit of a divide by states for juicy.
It's one of those beers that you always see on CBC, right? It's always appearing in the feed, so people posting pictures of this.
But yeah. I mean, see, if like I've drunk what, like Bucket Boys has done a few. They've got a new one coming out pretty soon. They're brewed in a new England IPA.
Kash has done a few different ones.
Kash has done a few. You know, but then I've never had. This is the Three Ravens Juicy IPA, which we hear a lot of people in Melbourne and you see on all the Facebook groups. People talk about it a lot. Never had it before, so I was actually in Bucket Boys the other day, and I was like, do you have it? And like, oh, we've just got a couple of cases out the back. So have a look at the date, but I think it's pretty fresh. I think it's like, yeah, it's like,
yeah, it tastes fresh enough, yeah.
It's in the month, yeah. I just thought I'd bring this just, you know, because I thought for sure we're going to start talking about the IPAs, which we already have. So,
I think that part of that regionality of it is that they do need to be really fresh.
It's by design,
which is great. I like that. I like the fact that in Sydney, we mostly drink the Modus and the Akasha and the Akam, you know, and then in Melbourne they have the Three Ravens and they have the Hop Nation and they have, you know, like, those are the ones there, and then over in WA, you know, they've got their own. And
yeah, and I hope it kind of stays like that.
Yeah.
And it not become the US scene where people line up for hours for Treehouse and then sell it on the secondary market and people get 3-month-old cans of Treehouse, which is kind of bullshit. It defeats the purpose.
I hate when I see people over here got bragging about they got Treehouse and like, good, it was probably great 3-6 weeks ago.
Unless you actually got it yourself and brought it back and share it with people. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Just drink a fucking beer. Yeah. It's beer.
But that's what makes going on holiday so much more fun, when you get to have all these beers.
Yeah.
Like,
going to the Russian River and having
consecration,
and having Pliny, going to, I mean, I haven't been to Treehouse or Hill Farm, but going to these places. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should do a sessionable trip to Treehouse.
I think so. With a budget stretch to that, I think it might do.
Dave's can sort it out, right?
Dave's going to Vermont in March.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Sweet.
Oh, he can bring us some back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can lead the tour.
Taking two suitcases, I assume.
Yeah. Don't know. Oh, we'll put a list in. He won't get any of it, but we'll put a list in.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure.
Just another quick plug for our sponsor. Thanks, Dave, for sponsoring us this year. It's been fun.
It's been a really good year.
It's been a highlight of this year, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's been a highlight for me.
So we actually did some tours as well.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was.
Hopefully we do more in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be announcing something very soon. Yeah. Probably next episode we'll probably be ready to announce something.
Another bus trip.
Another bus trip.
Yeah.
I think the plan is to do a couple of them next year, right?
Yeah. But I've been working on the next one already. I've done a fair bit of work, and we'll be ready to announce that one very soon, early next month.
I want to bring back the Darker Days trip.
We will do Darker Days again. Yeah.
And I think the other one, we're pretty keen to go to Canberra as well and do one there, right?
For Ben's
work. I'd like to do that,
I really want to go, especially now that Capital's open. We'll announce stuff. You'll be able to join us on the next trip, which will be early in the year, and we'll definitely be doing Darker Days again.
A bigger, longer trip.
Yeah, well, the next trip's going to be a 3-day trip.
Sick.
Yeah.
So,
got a bit more time in Brighton, a bit more time in...
Where we're going on this trip.
Oh, the next trip. Yeah,
Darker Days, we'll do a 3-day as well. Yeah. We did it 2 days last time.
It was a bit of a rush, but...
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was lots of fun.
It was cold as hell. Yeah. But another highlight was having Swansea Day.
Absolutely. In Sydney, finally.
Sydney?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a definite highlight for me. Loved it.
That was great.
Loved it.
That was a really cool day.
Do you guys reckon, how many years away is Topher from getting Swansea Day?
I was teasing him when we were doing that podcast, because he doesn't have enough seats. It's not, he can't. Yeah. He technically...
Doesn't he?
No.
They fitted quite a few in for those lectures on Beer Week.
You can do a few,
if
you do a few sessions, just like a bit of you.
Well, you know, it was a highlight being there for Swansea Day, and I kind of ruined it. Well, not ruined it, but I didn't give it its full potential because I pretty much just drank Wildflower the whole day.
Yeah, well, that was the standout, wasn't it?
A little bit,
The St. Florence was pretty amazing.
Schooners of St. Florence was the highlight of that
I think
day.
Part of it was because we were kind of limited to what we could have had of the Cantillon, right? But we could have bought as many St. Florences as we wanted, right? So that was part of the reason why it stayed in my mind as well as it did, other than the fact it was a fucking awesome
But also
beer.
Coming out and seeing the next session about to go in and seeing that line of people about to go, that excitement, that was pretty cool. I think overall,
good vibe, good people in there, definitely.
It was just a celebration, right? It was fun. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It was a really nice party atmosphere,
Yeah, that was great. That was a highlight for me. It was really cool.
Yeah, definitely up there.
Sydney Beer Week was pretty good. Thanks, Liam.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. I can't say it, so someone else
Someone say Sydney Beer Week.
You guys listening to the podcast, you can't see the sign he held up.
I'm wearing my Beer Week now.
Pointing to his shirt.
It lights up.
Crazy first Monday, as always, with the podcast and the...
Yeah. Oh, the live podcast was definitely a highlight. And that was lots, very good. Lots of fun.
Good show.
And the Blue Tongue event.
We had some blue tongue beers afterwards.
But the tongue wasn't the only thing that was blue as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Can we just call it out? I don't think we've talked about it after the podcast.
So this was the Moon Dog, right? Yeah.
Frankie's collaboration coup.
Yeah.
And the one of the beers was called Toxic Motherfucker?
Yes.
The Toxic Motherfucker 2.
Two, that's right.
So it's like even more toxic than Toxic Motherfucker 1.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
And it was like... the weirdest thing was like walking into Frankie's and then there were people walking out with blue mouths. And
yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And then you see people with glassware, which is weird enough, but with blue beer.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, what? And then you can tell who's had it and who hasn't because their mouth is bright blue.
It looked like there was a Smurf orgy.
Yeah.
Like there was that much blue.
And then for the next week after, everyone was freaking out because their insides were literally blue. Well,
people were passing blue, let's put it that way.
My housemates thought I'd gone out and bought some blue loo. Like, are you cleaning the toilets? I'm like,
I got a message the next morning of someone saying, like, hey, by the way, how's your morning? I was like, yeah, good. It's like, how was...
Have you
gone to the bathroom? Yep. Did you look at this color? I was like, should I have? But yeah, that was a thing.
It was pretty tasty, but also, fuck you, Frankie's and Mood Dog.
Yeah.
That was fucked up. Please do it again.
We'll see you next year.
Yeah.
It was a fruit tingle IPA.
Yeah, it was.
And it pretty much ticked the box.
Yeah,
it was tasty.
It wasn't much IPA to it, but it was, you know, it was a tasty beer. It was nice. A bit sweet, you know. Bright fucking blue.
That was a fun night.
It was a fun night.
It's always a fun night.
Post-podcast.
Yeah.
Always the podcast itself was fun enough, but...
Yeah.
Frankie's house band. Yeah.
Can't wait till next year.
That was my highlight of the week, I think.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I didn't really get to do many events during that week because I was working, but yeah, that was great.
But just the vibe around town was really good. Lots of cool events on, and, you know, it was fun. It's always fun working at a bar during beer week.
Yeah, it was good. That was just a week of no sleep.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. I lost my voice by day three, I think.
And you got big plans for 2018?
It's already started.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Well, I think early gen will have a bit more to talk about with that. But, already started working on Beer Week and, stay tuned. Good news is there will be a Beer Week next year.
Yeah, well, that's
great. Yay!
That's breaking news, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I'll just look at your shirt as well. I think that's another good thing of 2017.
Bucket Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise it was a Bucket Boys shirt.
Yeah, it's a bit low.
It's very,
I've
been really impressed with everything they've done. Their bottle shop's fantastic. The beers that they've been making are fantastic. And their bar's really cool.
Still haven't been.
Yeah, it's cool.
I still haven't been. I haven't even been before the bar opened.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, they're kicking it out of the park. They're also importing beers. Like, they're doing everything.
Their imported beers have been really cool.
Yeah,
they've been fun. Cool stuff. Yeah.
I think you've had a fair few at the Royal Albert.
Yeah, we worked with them quite a bit and did some tap takeovers. So, like, Hon Brugeriet.
You ordered it just so you could say that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I bet you're getting it wrong as well.
Oh, I definitely am. I know I am.
I bet you correct every single person. Actually, guys, it's pronounced Hon Brugeriet.
That was pretty good pronunciation.
That was me being sarcastic.
It was a good
Nah, John and Clint and the rest of the team have done an amazing job this year. Adrian and I were talking about their... have you got their advent calendars?
Yeah, that's one really I'll do. I'm going to do that next year for sure.
Cider one as well.
Yeah, I heard
cider
that.
One, which is really cool.
All about that.
Yeah, the bar's awesome. They got some great.
Yeah, and I think on Wednesdays, so at the bar, you can get anything from the bottle shop whenever you want
and bring it upstairs.
You know, bring it upstairs. But they just charge you a corkage on top of the bottle shop price. But on Wednesdays, they don't charge corkage. So you get bottle shop prices of this amazing selection at a bar.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool.
Is that Wednesdays?
Wednesdays, yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've done a really good job. Their beers, the Pina Colada
Conference. Yeah, I liked that one.
Love that beer.
Liked that one.
That was on the Crafty Pint top 10.
Yes, it was. Yes, but yeah, they've done some awesome collabs.
Yeah,
their 99. I think Adrian and I talked about it last episode, the 99 Oysters, their collaboration with Bruni Islands and Oyster Gosa, which is really good to have for Beer Week.
There was another good one in Beer Week as well. It was like a breakfast.
That was I can't believe it's not porridge.
That's right. Yeah. That was good. I like that one.
They've done a XPA with Mornington, which is out now. I went there to pick up this next beer we're just about to drink and the Juicy we just had there from there during the week. And they were in the middle of a blackout and they were like, oh, yeah, no, tools are working, but we've got no power. So they actually had flashlights, so everyone could have a flashlight to do their shopping. That's a good touch.
That's really cool.
They keep all their beer cold, which is awesome.
Apart from when the power goes out.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
Well, it was still cold.
What did you buy? What is this next beer?
Well, Christmas time's all about drinking with the boys. So to do that, you have to have a cuvée de boys.
Yeah, the boys. Crack open a cold one with the boys.
Cuvée de bois, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, I'm just... Yeah.
I refuse to call it that.
It's cuvée de boys. But yeah, so I have been reading, keeping track of all the cool things that La Serena have been doing and haven't had a chance to drink a lot of their stuff.
So I was in Rootstock and tried a few of their crazier stuff and I was impressed with every single one of them.
So this is, what's the...
I don't think...
Is it called the Artisanal Series?
Yeah. I don't think I had this one. I think either they had it and ran out or they just didn't bring it.
This is just a new release. It's just come out.
Yeah, so...
Gotta say, it was a little pricey though.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's a small bottle.
$26 it is.
Ooh. For a $3.75.
Yeah.
Mm. Is that with the tax? With the new tax?
No, it was a bit pricey. But,
so is it a New England IPA? Or...
It
is a barrel-aged wild ale, which is Chardonnay aged using the Solera method.
So basically the same thing.
You know what? So, back to New England IPAs.
Yeah.
One of the things I don't like about this trend is that everyone's calling anything hazy New England. Fuck off. Go away. Stop doing that.
I do that.
When does Cooper's rebrand and call it a New England pale ale?
New England Australian pale ale.
I did have a really New England memory this morning of what happened last night.
Fuck off. Seriously.
You're all misses today, Tom. Just stop.
we're like halfway through, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, the only... I agree.
I understand why people are doing it, because it gets, it gets people interested, but also...
The only one I would give a pass to was that Hazy from Batch, because it was a sour IPA.
It was an IPA.
Yeah, it was a sour IPA. So
also the name. That's the
Hazy.
That's good.
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
But I agree. Just filtration didn't quite come through. Oh, we'll just call it New England sour. It'll be fine. Or let's call it New England pale ale or New England this. But has anyone had a sip of this yet?
Yes.
It's weird.
There's a bit of nail polish remover on the nose.
Yeah, there's a heap of nail polish remover on the nose.
But yeah, that is... Mm. It's almost like a souped up sour... fruit cocktail syrup type thing going on. It's
like you've just eaten a whole bag of those sour cola lollies or sour gummy bears or something like that.
Yeah, like that sour sugar on a sour worms.
What is the percentage on this thing?
6.2.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is 6.2. Good work, Tom.
Yeah. Wow.
It's interesting because that Wildflower is like a 8 month old beer, so it's really settled, and this is quite young. So they're two. Yeah. Very different extremes.
Yeah, I would like to see this after a bit of age.
And I'd say it says
too late, it's been opened.
Barrel aged with Chardonnay. So I'm wondering if it's literally just topped up with Chardonnay.
Wine hybrid mixed fermentation farmhouse ale. Okay. Blended with three French oak barriques of aged 2013 and 2014 La Serena Saison. Using our vintage basket press, Australian Chardonnay Free Run was brewed into a specially designed farmhouse beer, then blended with our barrel-aged Saison.
Yeah, nice.
Interesting.
Nice.
I do like on the bottle as well. It says, contains live yeast and bacteria, which will develop on cellaring. It's cool. I like it.
If it wasn't $26, I'd buy another one and keep on it for a little while.
But green bottle, is that controversial?
Yes. It is controversial, but you're seeing this a lot in that...
that space.
You know, Canteon, DuPont.
Yeah, if it's good enough for Canteon and DuPont, you know...
I suppose just don't keep it in the a bright place, right?
Yeah, I do still have issues about it, because, if you do not take care of it properly... I've had DuPonts that have been skunked as fuck. I've had really good DuPonts, but, sometimes you just can't tell.
Yeah, there is a bit of a... it's a bit of a classical thing that people are sticking to.
Yeah.
So it is a bit controversial, but, DuPont said that they're never going to change, and that's how they do it. And
so the Wildflower bottles, are they 750 browns?
Have we still got that bottle?
Because I'm pretty sure they are.
Green?
I know the St. Flo...
Are they green?
Oh.
Could have sworn
the St. Florence was in a brown bottle.
Yeah. Well, no doubt we'll have Turford back on the podcast at some point. We can ask him the question.
Like, obviously, with these less hopped beers...
No, it's darker.
It's a swampy...
It is green, yeah.
It is a green.
It's a swampy green.
I think it's hard to get a brown 750.
That's a browny green, isn't it?
It's a lot darker than the La Serene. It's a beautiful beer.
Yeah. It is, with beers that aren't hop-focused, you're not running that risk as much, but you do still run that risk. And that's why, you can get skunky Saisons from Belgium.
You'd hope that anyone who was spunking $26 on a, small bottle of beer would know how to look after it, right?
Well, when I went, Bucket Boys were so concerned that they had all the lights off, so it wouldn't get light struck, so...
I actually really like that.
Wouldn't it be worse shining torches on everything?
Yeah. There was an LED torch. That's
right. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
How good is the bar? Is it really good?
Bar's cool. Good bar. Yeah, the Bucket Boys bar is really cool.
Is it like what's the place in Melbourne, Carwin Cellars? Is it like that sort of vibe or
decorations? Why have you been to the shop?
No.
Okay, they have it's a very weird colour scheme. It's very bright coloured.
Mm. Very clean.
The bar's... It's more of a bar than Carwin Cellars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because it's upstairs, you don't feel like you're in a bottle shop either.
Yeah,
you go in the bottle shop and then there's a stairwell and you go upstairs to the bar. And it's deceivingly big.
It's a
big space.
Yeah. I really want to check it out now.
Yeah, let me know. It's cool. I'm always going to go.
Sessionable.
The Hunter Valley is well known for its wine, but did you know that there's a growing beer scene there as well? A great way to check out the awesome beer and breweries in the Hunter Valley is to get on a brewery tour. Fortunately, Dave's Travel and Events Group offers such a tour. On their appropriately named Hop Hunter Tour, you'll visit breweries new and old and find out why the Hunter Valley is not just about wine. To book your tour today, check out daves.com.au.
So... Welcome to the second half of the show. What are we drinking, Brad?
We are drinking Wayward's brand new Christmas beer called Crazy Uncle Tug. So named after one of their regulars, a guy who was in the army, and Tug was his nickname, cool. Apparently.
So what is it?
It's a Christmas spiced brown stout.
4.5.
Five.
Did you say 5%?
5%.
Okay. Yeah. So was it figs?
Yep, spiced figs, cinnamon, cloves, and hazelnuts.
Yeah,
cool.
It's kind of like a fruit and nut bar in a beer.
Kind of like...
I like it.
Yeah. Little bit of like a gruit thing going on.
It's very fruity.
The hazelnut herbal really makes it for me. It's got a really nice hazelnut on the end.
Yeah, I like the hazelnut.
I'm enjoying it the more I have of it. The first sip I wasn't super enamored with it, but it's growing.
I don't think the cloves are too strong on it. I get quite a bit of cinnamon. I get a lot of the fig, which is quite a pleasant flavour. And like you say, the hazelnut's quite a nice end. Maybe a bit more chocolate malt would have rounded it out a bit more.
It's very Christmassy.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice Christmas beer because it's not super boozy. It's not super strong. It's light as well. It's got a nice lightness to it. It's good.
They've been kicking goals this year.
They have been, that'd be up there for highlights.
When you think back to the number of beers they've released this year, it's crazy.
I think doubling their taps as well.
Such a great venue. Yeah. Such a great venue now with all of those taps. I was down there again the other night, and it's just the variety they're able to put on there
One of the best beer bars in Sydney.
Yeah, it is.
Hands down.
It is a beer bar.
Well, it is now a beer bar. It's no longer a cellar door.
Yeah.
yeah, they've always got about five or six guest taps now with a cider and then just a crazy range of their own beer. It's mm-hmm. it's great to see.
Definitely not going there after this recording.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the Passion of the Puss in 640 ml bottles.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
one of my highlights from last year.
And then the highlight this year. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's a I think it's a beautiful beer.
It's going to be in my hottest 100 top five.
I voted and it is in mine. Yeah.
Mm. So speaking of votes for the hottest 100.
Yeah.
What are some beer highlights, as in specific beers?
So what's
your top beer of the year?
Beer of the year?
What would you vote for in the number one spot?
Number one is St. Florence, just because it is.
Mm. I think for me as well.
Mm. Same.
Without a doubt. It's never been so clear-cut for me in all of the years I've been voting for Hottest 100.
Yeah.
It has been for me. It's always been Feral Watermelon Warhead, which unfortunately is missing out this year. But this year, that release has just blown me and a lot of other people away.
Yeah.
So I think, Liam, what are you voting for?
Well, I didn't vote in the Hottest 100 and I just don't.
Yeah.
And I got no issue with it. I just, yeah.
That's fair.
Yep. But my pick of the year was actually the Mountain Goat Back to the Brewer.
Yeah, that's an excellent beer.
So I went, good. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I went when they had their birthday party at the Forest Lodge.
Yep.
And they had a fresh keg that was freighted in from Melbourne the day before.
Yeah,
and that was that was tasty.
The keg was amazing. I mean, that beer was beautiful on draft. Yeah. I had it again maybe 2 or 3 months later, and it just died a death in the bottle.
Yeah, really we had a bottle of it not long ago
at Davies Leading.
And it was it was dead. But
I think it's one of those ones that again, it's not quite a New England IPA, but with that sort of it's in that trend.
I love the fact that it was a New England IPA and it didn't call it New England. Yeah, like we were complaining about everyone else is like putting the hazy thing on everything. They went the exact other way.
Yeah,
and it was one of those things. Like when I got there, Ryan from Mountain Goat was like, "Oh yeah, do you want a beer?" I was like, "Yeah, cool." I was like, "Do you want a double steam ale?" I'm like, no.
Do I?
He's like, no, I'll try it. I was like, and I had it. I was like, holy shit. This
it was
is
really good.
Yeah. I think
I unfortunately didn't have it fresh. I had it in the bottles. Mm. I didn't think it was bad. It was just, I think, you know,
if I'd had more of it,
didn't live up to the hype, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Having that fresh one of it was amazing.
If I'd had more of it, it probably would have pushed its way into my top five, but I only had one of them. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was one night, but I definitely had a fit enough in one night. So
I had a few times. I had it, they were pouring at the gala, the Sydney Beer Week gala. That knocked me around a bit. I think
a glass off a balcony. If I remember,
I did not do that. I did not drop it off a balcony.
I heard that rumor.
I dropped it on a balcony.
I probably told you that. Yeah.
I dropped it on a balcony. That's different. Anyway, cut this out, Adrian. Cut this out.
I will not.
I was going to say, to make the editing easy for this episode, you'll probably just delete my entire track, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I usually do. You were in that episode with me and Liam last time.
I was wondering why I thought that was a really good episode. Yeah, and I think Noble Hops had it on tap as well.
Yeah.
And it was, on tap, it's a beautiful beer. I think, I don't know if I've tried it in the bottle, but I loved it on tap.
St. Florence is all, really up there for me as well. Interesting enough, like when I was doing that Crafty Pint thing and we're sitting there talking through everyone's votes, St. Florence wasn't, you know, like the Waratah got more votes and things like that as well.
I think St. Florence was just super limited.
Yeah, that might have a lot to do with it. For me, like, it was that Holds Wednesday was, Florence.
The aforementioned Passion of the Puss it is a beer highlight for me. Yeah.
Going into my top five, I had two Wildflowers, two Thirsty Crows, and a Beer Farm. And
what was the Beer Farm?
India Pale Lager?
India Pale Lager, because I just drank so much of it.
I drink a lot of that.
So
beer.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, it's not because I'm closely associated with them.
Well, you work at the cellar door,
right?
Official,
Otherwise, my shortlist, I had Batch Tank 6, which just blows my head off every time I have it. I love that. I love that Imperial Stout. I think it's right up there as among Australia's best Imperial Stouts.
You get a lot of cred that beer. Yeah. It's a good beer. Yeah.
Really Road to Ruin, which we had during the Bright Darker Days trip, was pretty awesome.
My favourite Gab's beer was the Three Ravens, Little Ravens Mango Lassie IPA. I thought that was really
tasty.
Good.
Yeah, I
really
like
that.
I think Lupin Fog was my favourite for Gab's.
Yeah,
it was,
same.
That was another good beer.
Well, speaking of a cash, the Mosaic IPA made my top five. I thought that was fantastic. Loved it.
Oh, I did have that. Yeah, that was good.
Am I allowed to bring Barossa Valley Choc Coffee Stout back up? Am I as that?
You are, even though it's not in the hottest 100.
No, I know.
List.
I tried voting for it, and I couldn't, and yeah. I was very sad.
It is a bit annoying that some breweries have decided to like concentrate the list.
But that way, they just lost a vote for me. I'm not going to vote for
the
other
beer. It's weird. You know. I did vote. So the other Wildflower I voted for was the table beer, which every time I go to Wildflower, I have at least one table beer.
Yeah.
Because it's just such
a good beer.
Such a cracking.
To continue the Wildflower Love Fest, their lager, I love it. It was brilliant. It just makes me very happy.
I've only had it in one sitting, but I thoroughly.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like a good Czech style with a bit of more character to it. Mm.
It's a lager that doesn't have that lager taste, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I really like that beer. It's really nice and refreshing. It was a really hot day when I went there.
Yeah.
It was a Friday afternoon, you know. Walking out of work on a Friday afternoon, you normally have a bit of a thirst. That was really good.
I had it. I need to track that down.
He's brewed another batch of it. Yeah, nice. Should be out pretty soon.
The other one that made my top five again for the third year in a row, and primarily due to the latest release, was the Shenanigans Winston, which I thought, you know,
the cans were tasting really good.
Were fantastic.
Yeah, I
haven't had it.
I heard some mixed reports because they kind of dialed it down.
Yeah,
but I thought it was tasting great.
I took a few tins over to the UK with me on my recent trip, and it went down pretty well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Awesome.
I had their Funk Wit.
I haven't had it
recently.
Yet. I haven't had it.
That was really good. Yeah.
I was very impressed with the Grisette Superior, which barely missed out in my top five.
ISG is really tasty as well.
I
haven't had that either.
And the other one I loved. Do you remember the 2 meter tall takeover they had on during the year?
Yeah.
There was the 5 year age dark ale with cherries, which was
very nice. I also thought the cleansing ale was perfect when I had it there. It was very, very tasty.
So, I mean, who do you think's going to get number one Hottest 100 this year?
Interesting question. So, what Stonewood won back the crown last year.
Yep.
And I think they'll win again. But I think
Bolter
might take a couple of steps up. I think they got fourth for the XBA. I think they might get second or third.
You'd think that Feral will drop down a little bit,
I think
bit,
there
right?
might be a bit of backlash for... Yeah,
Feral and Pirate Life.
And Four Pines.
I definitely see that the Feral will get a bit of backlash. I'd be interested to see if Pirate Life gets the same backlash.
It will be interesting. Yeah. You're right. I'm not sure how to call it this year.
We'll see.
I think Stonewood's got it.
I think Stonewood's got it.
That'd be my pick, yeah.
I think you might see Bolter even take out the top spot.
It's possible.
No.
I think there might be a bit of a...
I mean, to debut at number four, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Bolter's going to go up.
I think they'll go up.
Whether they've got the clout to take
number one.
I think Stonewood will take it. Mm. Maybe Bolter number two.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Predictions.
Imagine if Feral gets back on top.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, I don't
imagine
see
CBC if that happens.
Oh god, that's always my favourite day of the year as well.
I call it all caps day now. It's like caps lock day.
Before we get to the pointy end of this episode, we have poured another beer, and it's a Christmas beer.
And no, it's not the Mad Abbott Christmas Ale.
This is the Mountain Goat Barrel Breed Christmas Ale 2015. So it's a barrel-aged Belgian quad, aged for 3 months in Lark whiskey barrels. This is really nice. I'm enjoying
this. This is tasting really good.
It's, what's the booze on it? It's
quite
10%.
Mountain Goat's had a great year. They've
I think so.
Really
yeah.
done some cool stuff. I think...
Who's sorry? Motive.
Mountain Goat.
Oh, Mountain Goat.
Yeah, I think they've had a cracking year. Released some really good beers. I think they've won back a fair bit of consumer confidence. I think
they're setting the template for how to do it. If that's you know, yeah,
seems to be there's minimal intervention, I guess you could say, from their owners. And I think they've just gone about their business and brewed some really good beers.
Yeah,
I was one thing I did when I was in the UK. I forgot to mention is I went to the Meantime Brewery in Greenwich, and I went on their brewery tour.
Oh, cool!
And it was a good brewery tour. Actually, it was run by one of the bar managers who was there, and he was quite candid. He was quite open about you know the fact that they'd been bought out
and
Asahi being their current owners.
Are they owned by Asahi?
Yeah, so they were bought out by.
Carlsberg or something
it was it's gone
that's right
I think it might have been SAB actually
yeah
I think
when
it was
when they...
well, no it was SAB yeah. So they're bought out by SAB and then due to some sort of competition laws
anti-competition
SAB got bought by AB
that's right that's right so that triggered that they had to sell Meantime and then Asahi came in and bought Meantime off of SAB and they said that you know they were only owned by SAB for about 6 months, so they didn't really have any time to sort of get their fingers into what they were doing there. But they sort of described the Asahi relationship as, you know, a lot of capital being injected, but in terms of their day-to-day operations, they didn't really interfere. Yeah. So I would
and that seems like what's happening.
Expect that would be the similar thing to Mountain Goat. I mean, there was obviously there's commercial pressures and they're pressured to brew the big selling pale ales and you know the stuff that you know is their market leader. So there's not as much scope for experimentation as
they still do that raspberry wheat.
I think they do. Yes, yeah. I think they do. They were running this really experimental pilot scheme for a couple of years, but unfortunately that was knocked on the head.
That's a shame.
But yeah, it was good. It was awesome. Good experience. But yeah, I expect Mountain Goat are probably feeling the same thing from their Asahi ownership. If you're gonna get bought out by one of these big multinationals, then it seems that might be the one.
is Asahi got much play around the UK? Are they doing much around there?
Not much. Yeah. No, I mean you sometimes see them in bars. In pubs, but
do they own anyone else in the UK?
Not that I know of. Yeah, I don't know. There might be more ownership, but no, I'm not aware of any more.
This beer is tasting awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Very Christmas.
I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
And it does
2 years old.
The booze is really sort of There's
a little bit of oxygen, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
mellowed out a bit. You know, but it is definitely still a bit punchy, but it's not.
It's not boozy.
It's not killing me.
No, I'm really enjoying this. I think it's a good time to crack it as well. I don't think it's it's Christmas. But it's you know, it's 2 years old. I don't think it's going to get too much better, but it's definitely at a good point.
You get much larger.
It's good. Quads tend to have a lot of staying power.
Yeah, shelf life.
I don't think there's anything more I'd want out of this beer. Like, it's not like I wouldn't want that alcohol to die down a little bit. It's all come together.
Are you getting enough of the lock?
I think the whiskey's maybe
it's present, but it's not
a bit in the back end.
Yeah, a bit on the back. Yeah. Bit of oak. It's only 3 months in oak. It's not.
Yeah,
you know,
they never overdo the barrel aging for these barrel reads.
That's nice.
Which is good.
There's plenty of beers that just taste like licking the inside of a, you know, bourbon barrel or whatever.
Like last year's Old Money.
Yeah.
That was just insane. So, peeling away from beers for a second, do you guys have any non-beer highlights? Let's do a kind of, what's your non-beer recommendation of the year?
That's a hard one.
Who wants to start?
I've got mine.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Everyone knows what I'm going to say.
Survivor.
This year I really got into Survivor, guys. Like, I really got into it.
Because Tom is not one to really get into things.
No, you know me. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Cut it out. Okay, cool.
60, like 60 episodes in a season or something stupid.
I think Tom has seen, what, 20 seasons this year?
Yes. No, more than that. I've seen 21, 2, 3, 4. 24 seasons, I think, including the Australian one,
out of 35 US and one Australian.
What a bum! How do you have the time to do that?
Well, that's like all the TV I'm watching. That's all I would do. You know, that's what I do in my free time when I have any.
My pick of the year is I'm going to go full nerd and be Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yes, wait,
good pick.
That was pretty much what I was like tossing.
I've been playing a lot of Zelda.
How good is that?
It's so good.
Yeah. That literally just brought back my childhood. It was like playing Ocarina of Time all over again.
Have you seen the new DLC that has a bike? Has a motorbike?
I've seen it.
I don't even ride horses.
Why not?
You don't Daryl Braithwaite it?
No. Well, I find when you ride the horses, you're going too fast and you don't notice the smaller details. So I just run around. Mm-hmm. But game.
Lee and Brad are really interested. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a great game. It really is. Game
of the
year.
I don't watch TV, so I'll just sit and play.
Well, that's fair enough.
Play video games. That's pretty good. Yeah. Adriana?
My recommendation got a few laughs when I brought it up halfway through the year, and I'm going to do it again anyway. It's Lorde's new album, Melodrama. Fucking amazing.
No, I'm with you. I laughed at the time, but I've since
I
laughed
because
it.
All I think of is that South Park episode.
And I think,
have you ever seen that?
Where Randy is Lord.
I am Lord.
It's a great album. And I think Greenlight's the single of the year as well.
Like, really?
I hope that wins Hottest 100.
Yeah. I was going to ask this as a question, because is there a standout for Hottest 100, Triple J Hottest 100 this year?
I think either that or Big Shark, Mine's Not Hot.
really?
It'll get a lot of joke votes. It might make like the top 20. I don't know. But yeah, that's my pick.
That's the Australian song of the summer. Man's not hot. Yeah. I'm not going to take my fucking jacket off. That's good. Come on. Like, it's a good track. But yeah.
All right.
That's the Macarena of our generation.
Yeah. I went through my Spotify, like, you know, your year review kind of thing.
That.
And
yeah.
that was like, it was Animals Lord. As Leaders, which is like prog metal, and Lord. Like, to make it into my top five is pretty incredible.
Hmm. All right, my recommendation is I'm going back to TV again. I don't think it's one we've brought up actually before now, but my series of the year was The Handmaid's Tale. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Is that on Netflix? It's on SBS
On Demand.
So it's not Netflix. It's one of those ones that everybody thinks is on Netflix, but it's not actually on Netflix.
I think it was like Showtime or something.
Have you recommended
US.
This before?
No, I don't think I did actually. But
a few people have recently been telling me.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. Yeah. Really powerful series. Great acting, and I'd definitely recommend it. It's a really great watch. I expect it to win all sorts of awards if it hasn't done already.
Right. Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. I think we need to finish up our beers because we've got another beer.
One more beer.
One more beer.
The reason why I haven't been feeling Christmas yet is because I haven't had a Mad Abbott Christmas Ale yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
All right. We can't have a sessionable podcast without a Mad Abbott Christmas Ale.
All right. Let's take a
quick break, finish these, drink the beer, and talk about it.
Sessionable.
So let's wrap up this year,
as we always do, in classic sessionable style.
Yeah.
So, how's this year been for you guys? Actually, has it been a good year?
It's been a mixed year.
Yeah, pretty shit year.
I think overall positive. It's been a I'm an eternal optimist. So
it's been a pretty big year for me. Yeah.
You've had a massive year, right?
And you have some bigger news as well, don't you? Well, not bigger news, but big news that you shared with me earlier today.
My wife and I have just become citizens, or we've just had our citizenship approved. So,
congratulations.
So, yet another Aussie on the podcast.
So, when are you getting the Southern Cross tattoo?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's part of the ceremony.
Yeah, of course. So, whenever the date for the ceremony is, I imagine it'll be then, yeah.
Barnsley gives it to you, right?
Like, Barnsley rides in on a horse while Darryl Braithwaite's playing.
Congratulations. Gonna be little dog.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude, you've had a massive year.
It's been a really big year.
It's a good year for Brad.
Yeah, it has.
Awesome.
We're probably less beer than previous years, but still good beer.
But you're still sitting here in the year doing a Christmas podcast.
So. Exactly.
How do you time to do that?
Still got my Mad Abbott in hand.
Yeah.
Just time management.
Yeah.
That's right. It's all about time management.
I don't watch Survivor, so that's how I've got time for it.
It's a really good show. You guys didn't even let me talk about it. Like, you just like mentioned it, and then you immediately went on. And I'm like, oh, more to say, guys.
I got the tap on the leg. It's like, move on.
All right.
Well, there's no point because we're just going to mute your whole track out of this.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty shit year for me. But, I think next year is going to be a really good one. I'm really looking forward to it. Got some cool things on the horizon.
Some irons in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Liam?
Pretty crazy year, actually.
Yeah.
It's been, especially
with you guys, like, Sydney Beer Week for the first year.
Yeah. It has been a good year. It's been a hard year. I haven't had a lot of time to do things outside of beer.
Yeah, honestly, whenever I want to catch up, you're like,
no,
I have zero time.
And I haven't been on the podcast as much as I would have liked for the same reasons as well, but you have made
appearances.
I've done a lot of cool shit this year. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, can't complain. But yeah, it's been a pretty full-on year.
Lee, give us a thumbs up or thumbs down for the year.
Down.
Yeah, cool year with me.
Mm.
Adriana?
Yeah, it's been mixed for me. Mostly good. I always try to look on the bright side.
How good is this tasting? I'm really enjoying this.
So we should probably point out that, this is a different vintage to what we would normally have.
Mm. We normally have the 2013.
Was there a 2012 as well? Did we?
I don't know, maybe.
Or did it go 13, 14?
No, I didn't think there was a 14. I think it went 13,
15.
It might have gone
12, 13, 15. Yeah. 15.
That's what I thought. There was a year break, and then there was another one, right?
So this is anyway, we're drinking the 2015 Mad Abbott Christmas Ale, a quadruple.
It's tasting really good.
It is tasting really good.
We are creatures of habits. There are things that happen on sessionable podcasts, like you have to have a minimum of two...
awesomes.
Two awesomes per episode. You've got to have Dave Padnell on a minimum of two episodes a year.
I
think this has been replaced by Topher now.
Yeah. I had a beer with Dave yesterday. He's like, oh, you don't see me. He's like, I've got Topher now. I don't need you. Like, nah, that's not true. He did tell me off for not having visited. He knew the exact date the last time I'd been to his venue. He's like, Liam, it's been 9 months, 3 days, and yeah. Oh, so
that's rough.
Yeah,
we should get Dave back on.
We should.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe we can get him on as a guest at our next live show.
Yeah, tell us about it, Tom.
So, as we did last year, we are going to do a live show on Hottest 100 Day, which is the 27th of January this year. It's the fourth Saturday of January. Yeah. So we are going to be, we'll do another live episode at the Royal Albert Hotel. The format will be a bit different from last year. I think last year was a lot of fun, but
yeah, we'll refine it.
We'll refine it. It'll be a good sessionable live episode.
So definitely it'll be gonna have Dave Patton on the episode, right?
Well, we're gonna write that Dave.
nudge. He listens to this. Come on, Dave.
I would love to have Dave on the episode if he's available. I think maybe the fact that it's not on Australia Day, we might be able to get some more people because everyone's doing their own thing for Australia Day as well. So, you know, we'll do the same thing. It'll be free entry, but you'll be able to buy the set of beers.
Yeah, the same beers that we drink.
Yeah. And like every time, Mick of the Royal Abbots, you know,
always gives us on a bunch of food.
And yeah, so, and it's always a really tidy price. We have to pick a new charity, I think, to put some money towards as well.
And for those of you listening outside of Sydney or a bit further afield, we might be experimenting with some technology.
We've been talking about doing a live broadcast of the podcast for this year. We've got a month to work out how the fuck we're actually going to do that. Yeah. But we're going to have a crack at it. Yeah.
Might be doing it on smoke signals or semaphore or something like that.
Yeah. So, if you...
What's the light one that the Navy uses?
Is that Morse code or...
No, don't have the light boxes where they have the...
you might have to buy your own tin can, but we'll supply the string.
I love tins.
I mean, you're all beer nerds. I'm sure you got plenty of tins lying around.
Container deposit scheme these days. It's hard to come by.
True.
I'm going to have to lock up my backyard now.
We're
getting people breaking into our bins.
On that note, thanks everyone for listening to us this year. This podcast would not exist without you. Thanks so much. We love doing this, and hopefully you guys love listening to it as much as we love doing this. If you do enjoy the podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. 5 stars. Yep. Anything less, obviously, don't do it.
Anything less, just email it to sessionablepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You know.
No, or just email it to Ale of the Time.
Email it to Radio Bruise News.
I love those guys. Yeah. No, seriously.
No, they're
good.
They're awesome.
Extra recommendation.
Another shout out to Dave for sponsoring us this
absolutely
year.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And I think this has been, honestly, and I say this has been, I think, the best year of the podcast we've done by far. And that is all thanks to Dave. Dave has been fantastic, has been so helpful.
So supportive. So motivating.
And has let us do some really cool things like the trip to Bright. And we're only planning to do even more cool things next year. It's going to be a good year.
So you can catch the podcast at Sessionable Pod on Twitter, Sessionables on Facebook as well, and the website is sessionable.net.
Tell your beer nerd friends as well. That'd be nice. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, don't have to be beer nerd friends. Just tell your nerds.
Tell your nerd friends.
Tell your friends.
You know your nerds listen
tell
to podcasts.
Tell your mum and dad. Like, you're seeing your family this Christmas. Tell all your family.
Man, how many podcasts has my mum come to?
She's into most of them. Most of the live ones. Yeah.
Didn't come to the last one, though, did she?
She did?
No, she didn't come to Frankie's.
She missed the previous one.
I gave her so much hell for not coming to Frankie's. She's like, yeah.
She skipped the blue beer.
Yeah, I think she made a good decision.
You know what? Like,
it's always a bad idea, but it was so much fun.
Having to have the vision of my mum with that blue mouth. I'm kind of happy it didn't happen, so I'm cool with that. But yeah. She has promised you boys that she will make it up and come to Frankie's with you another time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so, random day. Yes.
Yeah.
Just whenever?
It's got to be Monday.
What about tonight? Is she free?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was just hanging out with her today. She's doing shopping, but yeah, she's gone. But yeah.
See you, everyone, in 2018.
Yes.
Yeah. Which should be less of a garbage fire every year.
Oh, I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
I think just thank you for listening. Yeah.
Thank,
well.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening.
It's awesome.
This podcast is an excuse for us just to catch up and drink beers.
Yeah.
And the fact that people listen to it, I still find it amusing. Yeah. So
yeah. Our very best wishes to everyone that listens to this podcast. Hopefully you write 2018 when you write your dates very early in the new year. That's my wish for you.
Ah, yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good wish. That's a very good wish. I like that.
It's so hard.
The changing of the...
Yeah.
I wrote 2016. Yeah. Where did that come from?
And as always, Lee wishes all of you a very, very merry Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. Merry Christmas to one and all.
From Lee.
Before he kills us. Goodbye.
Bye.